Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What the hell is up, everybody? If you couldn't tell from the intro, the 4D Dynasty Football is back. 4D Chess. And in the intro, I'm not going to put clips of this man if he's not going to be doing the show with me. No, Adam. But we got a new partner. We got a new guy. He kind of looks like me. A little bit better looking. You can't see because it's on audio only, but Mr. Matty Kiwoom now officially doing the 4D Chess for the first time as a member of South Harbor. Last time I think we had you on this thing, we were just friends. We're more than friends now. We're bedmates. What's up, Matty? How you doing today, buddy?
Oh, man, it feels fucking awesome. Now, it's things that happen in life that are so surreal. I remember the Sam Howell conversation, the very first episode of You and Adam that I caught. You guys were talking about Sam Howell, how Sam Howell was going to be hamwithy.com. And I'm not here to bash the take. I was sitting there in my office with my headphones and nodding like, yeah, hell yeah. Let's get this boy going. And now here I am. Who am I, Stephen A? Or are you Stephen A? Am I Sterling? Am I Unk? Are you? I guess. Are you Skip? Am I Skip? How's this working now?
I'm like in the intro though. We've done a couple shows together too, and you always feel like the guy who's Mr. Positive Vibes out there. Like just let's get the juices going. Get the people feeling good, and then I just come in with some fucking take over the top. Like man. No, this dude's junk. Look at his warp. It's trash. You should sell this guy immediately.
The dichotomy of 4D Chess going forward is Scott Hansen, the utmost insane energy, blah, blah, blah. And then Chris Hansen, here, let me take a seat here. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat?
Right? I think that's our niche right there. You're Scott.
I'm Scott, you're Chris, we're the Hansons. And I'm bringing the obnoxious energy, and you're... Why don't you have a seat here? Okay, I gotta shit on your day real quick.
Oh my god, yeah. Why don't you put the case of beer down? Put the case of beer down. All right. What did you mean when you sent this text message? Oh, by the way, when we're done here, you're going to jail. So
yeah. And if you try to run, you will get speared by a Bill Goldberg looking motherfucker.
Oh man. Oh jeez. I didn't think I'd ever be Chris Hansen, but it does fit. All right, I can't knock it.
He was the hero the whole time, though. I mean, he was the White Knight, and you are my White Knight. My hero.
Just because I'm white. That's
it. Are you? I thought you were clear.
That's true. I know no bounds. I go anywhere I'm needed. All right? You know, doesn't matter. Matty, we are going to talk strategy. For those of you who have never tuned into the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast, welcome in. It is going to be Dynasty and Dynasty only. That's what we're going to talk about on this podcast every single week. Bring it back from a lens of strategy, right? Not just player takes, not just the hot garbage that you see out there everywhere, but strategy within your league. How to do it, why to do it. We're going to give you some stats. We're also going to give you just some common sense bullshit that people seem to overlook every single year in your dynasty leagues. So this episode, what's a better time to talk about contenders' dynasty strategy than right now? We are 8 weeks in. We are dealing with 8,000 injuries, it feels like. Please, for the love of God, turn the injury slider down. This is for the next 3 weeks. Can we just turn it down to 5? Something along those lines. This is getting ridiculous. But the moves you need to make as a contending team in your dynasty leagues from a lens of strategy. Maddie, let's talk about the first one, though. Injured players. Why? Why would you trade away injured players? We just had another one today that just absolutely devastated me. Stephon Diggs.
Oh, bro.
Stephon Diggs. It devastated me for the simple fact that on my contending teams that had Brandon Ayuk last week, I traded him away for a lot of Stephon fucking Diggs. Right. And then the next week, the fantasy football god spited me as well and took him out of my life. So here it is. You have an injured player, Brandon Ayuk, Stephon Diggs, Chris Godwin. Maddie, in traditional lineup leagues, are, you know, and I'm talking traditional lineup leagues, so let me just be very clear here. When I say that, I say it from the lens of sleeper best ball leagues, dynasty best ball leagues, do not have IR spots. So those are zeros on your bench. And that's something we'll talk about in the strategy. But traditional lineup leagues usually have a few IR spots. Some of these leagues are nuts and they have like 10 still from the COVID years. Remember those? Those are fun.
Oh, yeah.
The COVID years. But in traditional lineup leagues, how aggressive right now are you getting, Maddie, in moving some of these injured stars, especially the Godwins, the Brandon Ayuks? The dudes who are still youthful enough and hold enough dynasty value.
This is where, for me, you really have to look yourself in the mirror and you have to be honest with the outlook of your team. And when you make the decision to you know, put your pedal to the metal, put the gas on, I'm okay. In my contending teams, I am aggressive. I'm probably on the too far end of aggression when it comes to trading away injuries. It's almost like when they happen for my contenders, I'm immediately looking at the teams like, where am I selling them to? I don't tend to wait, but the ones that are on the fringe, I'm way, 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 way less aggressive, because at this point, if your winning window is not open, injuries, time, it's kind of on your side in a weird way, because you don't care about the week 9 matchup. You don't care about the playoff stretch. You don't care about trying to secure the ring. So I'm a lot more aggressive for my contenders, maybe too much so, but I'm okay with it, because the approach for me is seemingly just this. How much am I willing to pay to get the expedition? Is that the word? To expedite the injury. So if I want to expedite it 100%, meaning I want the same player, then I'm going to trade the injured player plus. If I just want to expedite 50%, so I'll get a healthy guy, but he's not in the same range as the Diggs, as the Ayuks, let's call it someone who's just a Romeo Dubes. That's, you know, something I'll do too. So if the first step for me is always being honest with the approach and being honest with your team is in the standings. And then the second is, how much are you looking to get back by trading the injured player? You trying to get it all back, meaning I'll give you Ayuk and my 25 first, but I'm looking to land in some Garrett Wilson. I'm looking to get into some Nico Collins. I'm looking to get back that player wholeheartedly. Or, like I said, do you want to just trade the injured player, get a 50% return, 75% return, to kind of see where you go in your league economy in that regard? But that's kind of my approach, the 1-2 step.
It's always fascinated me when we talk about injured players in dynasty, right? Because they're going to hold some sort of value to somebody at some point, right? That most of your dynasty leagues are deep enough where there's going to be teams out there that are interested in a Brandon Ayuk, Chris Godwin, a Stephon Diggs, somebody of that, because they're like, hey, they're coming back next year and they're going to give me this or whatever it is. So at some point, everybody values them to a certain extent. It's so weird when you switch over to like a seasonal format, right? Stephon Diggs goes down with the ACL. It's announced today. Getting dropped everywhere. Dropped. Oh. And he's getting, and shitters are getting picked up off waivers in place, like dart throws. Like, just give me something. This is absolutely means nothing to me because I'm playing for this year. This guy's injured and giving me nothing. So let's just say this, man. If you were in a redraft league right now and you had Stephon Diggs and Wandale Robinson happened to be sitting on waivers, like, you're doing a backflip.
I'm gassed. Like, brother, I'm pumped.
Look at me. But when you go to a dynasty league, imagine trading away Stephon Diggs right now for a dude like Wandale Robinson. You feel flaccid. You feel gross. You feel disgusting.
Oh.
Here's the thing I'm willing to say. If you're a true contender, You have a good roster construction, something we'll talk about on a later show. We'll dive back into that topic. You have good roster construction. You're following a lot of these strategies Maddie and I are laying out here. Why are you not exploring some more of those crusty type moves that you would be absolutely ecstatic if you could get done in a redraft league? Like, why not? Why are you hampering or hamstringing yourself with quote unquote dynasty value specifically because you're scared to make that kind of move? The goal should be to win this year, right? You put yourself in the position to win a championship this year. It really feels like you're just shitting on your chances and hamstringing yourself if you're not willing to kind of get down in the muck in the dynasty landscape and take some of these moves where, you know, obviously 2 weeks ago you weren't fucking thinking that. I'm not trading Stefan Diggs for Wando. But that's what I mean. Like, there is a certain range of players where me as a contending manager, I'm looking at it and going, why the fuck do I not do this? Like, if I'm actually a true contender and I believe in myself, I should be doing this. I should be actively trying to get a Romeo Doubs or a Wandell Robinson. But here's the great thing about Dynasty. For most people's leagues, Maddie, that's like the last resort. You might actually be able to, even a Diggs, who's on the older side and tailing off in Dynasty value, right? Like, on some of these teams that maybe have a Doubs or a Josh Downs or Wandell Robinson or insert any kind of wide receiver kind of in that tier of just, okay, they're fine. They're fine.
Flaccid, I believe, was the term you used. Perfection.
If you want to have the best of both worlds, you could trade Diggs for one of those dudes in maybe a second, right? Mm-hmm. And get some long-term Dynasty value back on your team. You don't have to do the one-for-one. But I think everybody needs to kind of flip that little switch where they go, all right, I'm a contender. I do got to get a little bit crusty. And one thing I'll point back, I don't want to toot my horn too fucking much on this one, but when best ball first became a real thing on Sleeper, and we could do Dynasty best ball leagues officially and put them out there, some of my best moves I ever did, and these were in the offseason, is taking one-star player who everybody values really high and splitting them into multiple just shitburger assets. And then I just go, hey, look at me. I won a championship. You look at that Dynasty roster and you go, this is the most disgusting fucking thing I've ever seen. But you know what it did win? Money. And it won money for a while. So even in your traditional lineup league, I'm not saying go after fucking, you know, 18 Jalen Coker types. Or go after a bunch of Xavier Hutchinsons and John Mechies and Robert Woods to replace your Stefan Diggs. But I'm saying there are players out there. It doesn't even have to be the wide receiver position. It could be a solid running back. Stefan Diggs for Chuba Hubbard at this point would be a dub on a contending team.
Huge dub. Yeah, huge dub.
Huge dub. Give me something that I could possibly start a few times and can get me double-digit fantasy points. It's going to be much better than that thing that's just sitting in my IR spot. So I would say even in lineup leagues, you should be aggressive with it. Maddie, on the best ball front, you got to take whatever the fuck I just said and turn it up to 100.
Oh, yeah.
They need to go.
All of them, yes.
They need to go immediately.
You can't have those zeros.
Here's the one thing I want to transition into just from a strategy aspect. We know there's a dynasty cycle. And we know that people are always in their feelings, right? And while we may go over and talk about things like overreactions, and you see Twitter, X going fucking nuts, you see social media going nuts on whatever the flavor of the week is, in general, the dynasty market is a hell of a lot slower to react than the seasonal league market, just plain and simple. So when you go to trade away an injured star, within the first couple weeks is the absolute best time, in my opinion, to do it, because everybody just saw them, one, they got hurt. You're not going to change that fact. But what they saw a couple weeks ago, they're like, damn, man, Chris Godwin was fucking dominating. Dominating. If he's healthy next year, man, even if he's 80% of this, like, I'll take him on. What happens, though, if you wait 5 more weeks, 6 more weeks, all of a sudden people aren't as interested.
That's right. No, 100% true.
He's been out of sight. He's been out of mind. All those good feelings that we had coming off, you know. Maddie, you and I, it's kind of like when we go to the expo, right? The first day back home, you're like, God damn, I miss that place. I miss that place so much. I miss that place so damn much. I want to go back. I want to have all those good feelings again. I want to drink the booze and eat the food.
The dopamine.
And, give me that dopamine. You want that dopamine. It's the same kind of thing with these injured stars. So I'm of the firm belief that the sooner you can get these guys or start making deals, the better off you're going to be, because that's going to be the best time where you can capitalize on dynasty value.
No question about it. I would also add to that by saying, like, the content game has become so loud. Everyone who plays fantasy ingests something, whether it be us here at South Harmon, SouthHarmonFF.com, Warp Tool, let's get it, or somebody else. But over the course of 5 weeks, how many different content producers has told them, this guy's done, it's over with, blah, 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 and just the perception dissipates. And sometimes I think you can, and I've done this a bunch, you can kind of get your opponent backpedaling in terms of trade offers when you do it right away, because they don't know exactly what the markets are suggesting you should move. So if you can just go, Wandale in a second, they're going to go, whoa, wait. 2 weeks ago, I would have jumped for joy. The value couldn't have tanked that much. Deal, let's do it. But that's easier said than done, because over the course of 5 days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they're going to see these things. They're going to hear these reports about, oh, well, you know, look at Tank Dell now doing well. Look, must not have been Stephon Diggs. It's the role. Oh, it wasn't Chris Godwin. He's going to be a free agent, so we can't really expect. All this things like this high-frequency mustard shit starts getting in everyone's head, and you just kind of have to, you know, get the flow going, get it going. So I agree. I think early on is the best way to go about it, because the markets haven't really the dust hasn't settled yet, and you can kind of just be kind of like the thief in the night and give me a couple of things. Give me that. And I agree. Best ball, give me all. In best ball, I'm not big in best ball. I've just started getting more and more into dynasty best ball. I like the approach of fuck them picks. I'm not trading the picks per se, but I don't want to sell the player and, you know, throw a third on there to balance it. No, I'd rather have the Jalen Coker instead of that. I'd rather have the Xavier Hutchinson. Give me the chance at points, because I don't have to sort through the week to play him. That's already baked in to the system of the game. So when I'm selling, especially the injury players, to try to just fill it in the aggregate, fuck the seconds, fuck the thirds, give me the player, even if there's zero shine on that player, even if he's not even registering in Warp. Just give me the guy that is an injury away from a role. One spike week potential. That's the type of thing I think a lot of best ballers can back themselves into a bit of a corner when they're selling and they take that second or third piece as a pick, because they're really just investing in homework that they have to now use to continue to recoup the value of the loss of the injury. Where give me just any player that can have a spike. Give me Yosi Vaj. Give me Trey Tucker all day long, baby.
Yeah, for sure. I say that best ball, it opens up so many more possibilities. I'll stick with the lineup thing, and we'll wrap this point up here with the wide receivers. Let's say it's Ayuk or Godwin, because I would say, even though Stephon Diggs was smashing Brandon Ayuk, Chris Godwin was on like a different warp level, and he's a little bit younger, so the dynasty value before injury was a lot higher. Like, the feel goods are probably still going to be with Ayuk and Godwin more so than Diggs, but we can include him in here. But let's just talk about like Godwin for this exercise here. I pulled up Warp, Maddie, southharmonff.com/warp. Go get the fucking tool.
Don't be a moron. Go get the tool.
Go get the tool. Just updated again today for week 8 of top 50 wide receivers so far in this year in A Warp per game, which, if you guys aren't familiar what A Warp is, it's adjusted warp, meaning start percentage comes into play, right? Mm-hmm. Traditional warp is just going to look at everybody that was available in the league. So you're going to get turd burgers that you never were even thinking about starting that week. This goes off consensus start percentage. So you have to hit certain thresholds in order to be included in this one. But A Warp per game, top 50 wide receivers. Here's some good pivot options, Maddie. Darnell Mooney for a Godwin. And listen, depending on your league, it's very likely you get a plus. We mentioned Chuba Hubbard. I bet somebody might throw a Chuba Hubbard in that motherfucker if they got it. Khalil Shakir, that's your boy. We did a warp buy sell list. Khalil Shakir is on this list. Deontay Johnson just freshly traded to the Baltimore Ravens. His teammate, also on the Baltimore Ravens, Rashad Bateman, was having a little bit of a breakout. So pick your flavor, however the fuck you want it. You don't believe in DJ, that's fine. Go get Bateman. You don't believe in Bateman, you think DJ is going to be something? Either way, the number two receiver option for the Baltimore Ravens really feels like a good guy to be on this fucking list. Jacoby Myers is on this list with an obvious uptick since the Davante Adams trade. Jalen fucking Tolbert is on this list. Now, he's only got three games that hit A-warp thresholds as far as starting. But Jalen Tolbert made this list. Wandell Robinson and Mr. Romeo Doubs. Feels like a good bottom-of-the-barrel pivot list for somebody who's stuck with one of these wide receivers in a lineup league and wants to make the pivot. And I will say, these are all fucking smash deals in best ball. And just get some waiver wire fodder thrown in, right? Get some fab thrown in a best ball league. That's an underappreciated thing, too, by the way, Maddie. In Dynasty Best Ball Leagues as a contender, how fucking valuable having the big hammer every single week at the fab budget is. Every one of these deals, I'm of the absolute opinion, if you want to maximize your contending rosters in Dynasty Best Ball Leagues, every fucking deal that you do, you should make the other person pay you some fab, too.
Every pay that fucking tax, baby. Open the bag.
$10, $15, $20. If it's a fucking shitter contender, like you're like, whatever. You don't even need this anyways. Get their whole bag. Get the whole fucking thing. Because then every time a Malik Willis or a Joe Flacco pops up, or Parker Washington, the hot waiver wire ad this week, whoever the fuck that is, you're getting them on your team. And you can cut that zero off the end of your bench, or that backup tight end who's playing 10% of the snaps. Like, get that fab. So Best Ball League opens up even more for trading these injured wide receivers, because you can pile so much other shit onto the deal that's going to make it very beneficial for you. But even in lineup leagues, man, your bottom dollar, Romeo Doubs, feels like a pretty good fucking pivot right now on a contending team.
I'm going to add one more name to that mix, because he's kind of in the range of receivers that you're talking about. Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton is another one, especially in the best ball streets. He feels like a great pivot to me. Believe it or not, he's a top 75 overall warp player so far this season. I'm not going to say he's a regression candidate, because I feel like that's kind of a fool's errand in football, because at the end of the day, it's one game. You know, in baseball, basketball, you get weeks, you get all these games, you could see the ships turning slowly. Football, it just happens and you might miss it. But I will say this, there's been a lot of deep targets going Cortland Sutton's way, and they just haven't really hit. He has a lot of unrealized air yards. I think he is a guy that sees a lot of that actualize over the rest of the season. And again, you might not like to hear it, but Cortland Sutton is a higher warp player than DJ Moore, which does break my cortisone. It does kill me. But also guys like Chris Olave and Michael Pittman. He's been way more valuable than expected. And you want to get something for free 99 in Dynasty? Go talk to Cortland Sutton owner. They're gonna be, excuse me? They might even be so taken back by your interest in Cortland Sutton that they go, let me go put on this 4D chess. Who's talking about Cortland Sutton? Because why would this guy want Cortland Sutton?
They might give away for free. Just get him off my fucking team.
You want Cortland Sutton? Okay, what's wrong? And this is what I like to call. Have you ever seen Django Unchained, Mike?
About 75 times. 75. One of my favorite movies.
When they talk about the tactic to get Broomhilda out of the plantation, He's like, we can't just go there and ask for her freedom. It'll sound alarms. He won't buy. So we're going to go there with a plan to buy a fighter. And in doing so, we're going to swoop up Broomhilda. And I use this tactic in Dynasty all the time, because there are certain players that I want. And if you go gung-ho for that player, it's immediately going to cause that Dynasty manager to go, wait. Nobody fucking wants this guy. Why does Mike want this guy?
Exactly.
So you got to go in for the higher target. You know, go to the manager who has Cortland Sutton. He might also have Devontae Smith, and you lowball the shit out of Devontae Smith offer, because if he takes it, then you get value. And then if he doesn't, you go, all right, fine, let's do Cortland Sutton. We'll just settle on Sutton. They're like, oh, what an idiot. And you're like, well, I jangled you. And then you run to the bank. You get happy with that. But Courtland Sutton was someone I needed to bring up specifically because I don't think people care about him, but he's pretty valuable according to Warp.
He is. He's not too bad. Not too bad. And really, what other options are there there? What other options do they have? It's him and nobody else.
Lil Jordan Humphrey, who they were trying to force feed targets to last week. I don't
Good
get
Lord.
It.
I don't understand that one either. All right. Next topic we have for contenders. Your first round pick. You have your first round pick. At what point, Maddie, are you comfortable? And I'm just asking you because everybody's different on this one. What point are you comfortable? Like, what are some of the signals for you where you're like, all right, I'm ready to start pushing in my draft capital? At what point do you got to hit in the season before that actually becomes a reality for you where you go, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready. There's not a lot of negatives of me pushing this pick in right now.
I've been trying to find out what's the next frontier of Dynasty Gaming. What's the next edge you can gain? And maybe I'm fucking out of my mind here, but I think the next true the next true edge you can gain is truly mastering the psychology within the league, the psychology of the other managers, psychology of the league dynamic. And what I've been kind of noticing in my research, and I try to sound smart, but all it means is I just play a shitload of Dynasty Fantasy Football, is that the leagues that have the most buddies and have played the longest, you can learn the psychology of that league and truly capitalize. And what I mean by that is this, and this is kind of ties it all together. I'm okay trading my first as long as I'm getting a player that if I suck and I give up the 103, I don't care because I got a player that brings me back that value. So it's a sliding scale for me where if I'm a contender, I'm looking at the 112, 111, the risk I'm willing to put out. So I might push that chip into the middle earlier, per se, than I would later. But the reason why I bring up the psychology aspect is you know the guy in your league, right, Mike? The guy that is the fantasy equivalent of the Chicago Bears last week, losing on some Hail Mary that just goes, fuck this. Fuck this. I don't like fantasy. I hate fantasy. Take over. You could, at that guy, I'm going to go, you want a first? You want a little first? Okay. Take my first. Oh, but I'm, you know, I want Zay Flowers. Tell me Zay Flowers. And they go, okay, fine. Have it. That, so for me, it's really just a matter of timing is everything. And for me, the timing is right when you're shedding as much risk as possible for the future. And you're not throwing all your eggs in the basket. Now, if you want to just throw caution to win, which I'm down for, you know, you want to get into an arms race with the number two team in the league and you're number one, I'm willing to throw it for a not bye week, but a playoff stretch advantage if I know I'm going to make the playoffs. If I know I'm in the playoffs, I'll get reckless because you smell blood, you see gold, and you just want to run at it. You just want to get as aggressive and make sure you bring home and get the chips or the dip. But in terms of the seasonal approach, in terms of the entire season, I kind of just utilize the trade block, utilize what I know about my league mates, like I said, league psychology, to dangle it from day one and just see how the nibbles come. I'm not going to move it for nibbles, but you never know when, you know, Jonathan Taylor 3 years ago when he had those two duds, you traded a first for him, and he ends up being the running back one on the season with a bullet. So it just, for me, I dangle it right away, and I just want to see the nibbles because if I can come away with value next year, it just lowers the risk, but also lowers your anxiety of, shit, I don't have my first, because we all know the feeling, right? When you thought you were a contender, you lose five in a row, and all of a sudden you got the 104, and you traded it for Khalil Shakir. And you're like, fuck. Damn it. Damn it.
I suck.
It's really a matter
suck.
Of it's knowing your league, knowing your league mates, and also knowing the ebbs and flows of a season. Because when you play the game long enough, what you realize, at least what I've realized, is the more you see it and the more you see it repeated, the more you can try to predict it. And that's kind of how I've approached with my first round. If I've seen it before, I've made the mistake. I can dial it back if I'm willing to get aggressive, or if the return's good enough, I'll trade it week two and just hope and pray that I can avoid the injury bug and maintain a first. So for me, I dangle it right away, and then you just got to see what nibbles. So let's see who's biting.
I like that. I like when you said it was a sliding scale, right? So if we're at the start of the season, you got to blow me away. You got to blow me away with the offer. Or, and to your point, that what you talk about too, that goes through my fucking head. It goes through my head, let's say week two, there's a dynamite offer that comes in, you know, Smitty for my first, straight up. And I'm a big Devontae Smith fan. I got to do the math in my head. Realistically, if shit went sideways for me, where could this pick end up? And each league is going to be individual, right? Like, I may have started out 2-0 or whatever the fuck it is. Somebody's offering me Smitty for a first, and I look at the rest of the league, and I'm like, damn, there's four teams already fucking tanking, like, at best. Even if shit went completely wrong for me because I already got two wins, I'm going to be the 105. And then I got to do the math in my head again. Next year, let me try to project this out. What's this class look like? Would I rather have the 105 or would I rather have Devontae Smith? And if I get to the point where I'm like, oh man, I'd easily rather have a player than this, what this pick could be in worst case scenario, boom, done. Done. And I don't think twice about it. Good. Like, I got that little bit of insurance. But as the season goes on, that sliding scale gets a little bit more aggressive, right? Because my record and what I know about my team and what I know about the league, everything has started to take form. So let's say we're here week 8 and I'm, you know, 8-0, number one team in points for, haven't suffered a lot of injuries, depth still looking good. Somebody wants to come and get my first and they send me an offer, I'm a lot more interested now in buying up some players as long as I can strategically use them. I'm not going to go buy a fucking third quarterback if I don't need one right now. Like, I'm not just going to go waste it on some luxury dog shit where I don't need it. Because my overarching general rule is, I want to hold that fucking pick until I can't hold it anymore, right? I don't want to just go into the championship game and still have my first. Ideally. I don't want the championship to be over and I still have my 112. Like, fuck. I feel like I left some meat on the bone, right? Like, I don't want to do that. I kind of treat it like a gift card, Maddie. You know, the gift card's fun got expirations. It's a fun coupon.
Fun coupons, yes, sir.
But it's a fucking gift card, right? There's an expiration on it. And the expiration for me is the end of the fucking fantasy football season. Now, I want to use this gift card, but I don't want to use it too soon. You know, maybe there's some night I'm really hungry and that Texas Roadhouse gift card is going to come in real fucking handy to pay for that 26-ounce steak that I'm about to devour. So this is kind of the thing. Like, it's a sliding scale, but as we get farther in the season, more information becomes available. I want to hold on to it. Some of these leagues that we play in, they don't have a trade deadline. So ideally, if I could hold my first until we get to the playoffs, and there's officially six fucking teams in a 12-team league that are like, fuck, I'm done. Perfect. Now you're the fish that I want to go fucking target. You're the people I want to deal with, right? You're the ones that I want to go trade that first to because your season's already fucking over. What else are you going to do? All you get to do is make trades. All you get to do is make trades and pick dudes up off the waiver wire just to cuck other people. This is your only mission in life right now in this fantasy season. So ideally, my general rule is I want to hold them as long as possible, but I'm with you. It is a sliding scale where I will make exceptions if the deal is that good. And as the season goes on, my description of what a good deal is becomes a little bit more broad. Like, it's becoming closer to a bar close type, Maddie, where you're not so picky on who you take home. You know what I mean?
Standards have lowered.
At 8 o'clock, I'm looking for the 8 or above. All right, we get to 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes them fives and sixes are looking real fucking tasty. Like, I'm a five, so this will work out. I'm a five. You're a five. Let's just, you know, let's just get this done.
Yeah, I want to ask you this though: does your preference when trading your first change positionally? Because for me, early in the year, I am not trading my first for running back. I don't care. It has to be Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson. I just am not putting a lot of risk long term in predicting running backs. I think that's a fool's errand. But later in the year, you telling me Bucky Irvin starting? You can have my first if I need it. You know what I mean? So for me, early on, I just really kind of ignore most running backs. I was wondering your thoughts on how you approach it positionally.
That's also a tough one, too, with running backs, because there are some obvious, like, smash ones, and sometimes it's not always obvious to other people, and I do get some pushback for this, but, you know, Saquon Barkley going to Philadelphia behind the greatest offensive line he's ever played for. That felt obvious. That felt obvious, like that was going to be a home run, And if you were like, you know, I'm real aggressive, I want to trade a first for Saquon, like I was this, it's paid off big time for you. But it was a risk. And I when that trade came up on the trade show all the time, anytime it was Saquon and involved some first round, I said, listen, it's probably bad process. Maddie, to your point, it is probably bad process, but I have a gut feel about this one, and I'm willing to be wrong. On the sliding scale, I felt so good about it. I'm willing to take the fucking shit if I'm wrong on this one. Derrick Henry in Baltimore also felt like a smash. Even though it's an older running back, I'm like, man, if I buy that production for somewhere around my contender first, I'm going to do it. And if I'm wrong, I'm fucking wrong. I'm wrong. Generally, though, you are 1,000% right. That's not something that you want to do. I love Kenneth Walker to death, but Kenneth Walker was not in consideration for me in the early part of the offseason, right before the season, even on teams that I knew I was stacked of sending my first for Kenneth Walker, because that's kind of in that random range of running backs like the Travis Etienne's of the world, where it's like, you may like him, but he ain't secure as you think, right? And you're just going to get fucking piss pounded. Sometimes the actual most secure ones are the old crusty ones that people overlook. But the good thing about Saquon Barkley, the good thing about Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara and those types, is they didn't really cost a first. Like, it was kind of a rare thing for a lot of those guys to actually cost a first. You could get creative and send some second and Ricky fucking Pearsall for, like, Saquon Barkley, who was probably the most expensive of them in the offseason. And that's one where you go, like, if I fail, enjoy your 205 and fucking whatever Ricky Pearsall becomes. Good luck to you, buddy. Yeah. But if I'm fucking right on this, I'm walking away with the title this year. So that is also a sliding scale, but the general consensus, yes, running backs, no, and never for tight ends. Never for fucking tight ends. If I'm pushing that first in, especially in the early part or the offseason, it's going to be for a young quarterback. It's going to be for a young ascending wide receiver. It's going to be somebody that I feel pretty good about their floor, right? Even if they get injured, they hurt their knee in fucking week two, they come back next year, they're still going to have immense dynasty value that's going to be in line with what pick I sent away. So running backs, tight ends, definitely avoid. Running backs, you can make some exceptions, but just holistically, probably not the greatest bet in the early part of the season.
And I think it needs to be said, because there's going to be people that listen to the show, first of all, they're going to say, Adam's voice sounds different. He actually sounds like a white guy. But the other thing that they're going to be yelling at us about and noticing is, but I did it and it worked out. And I would suggest to these people is, it might have worked out this year, it's not going to work out every year. But for this year, the people who are doing that, selling their first for running backs early, it's kind of paying off. I mean, let's take a little journey here. These are the top 12 warp players overall, not just running backs, but overall. Derrick Henry, number one. Alvin Kamara, number two. Bijan Robinson, number seven. Barkley, number nine. Okay, those were okay selling a first for, even if it was in August. After that, though, Mixon, Gibbs, Kyren Williams. So those are the guys that weren't necessarily good process plays. Maybe Gibbs is fringe, but certainly not Mixon for first. Certainly not Kyren Williams for a first when Blake Corum was around. Mike, you can't do that, but these owners are being rewarded handsomely for their risk. And I would just say, good, be happy, but don't repeat. This is a bit of a weird year in that regard.
It is. Now let's talk about the downside, though, right? Because you did give some very good ones. Mixon, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Kyren Williams. Like, these dudes are paying off for you. They are. They're right. And there will be people who will be like, I got mine right. Let's just also go through the list of all the ones that people got wrong that they did, because I saw this shit go down. How's Christian McCaffrey working out for you so far this year?
Not He's sunk three or four of my leagues where I took him in the first round.
Some other guys that were right around the range, Jaylen Warren, Tajay Spears, those aren't working out too well for you. Rashad White, Ramondre Stevenson, Javonte fucking Williams, Travis Etienne, obviously in the shitter. Isaiah Pacheco in the shitter. Like, these are a pretty good list of running backs who are right around like, oh, I got a contender's first. I need some running back help. Let me buy some depth. This shit was happening the whole time in the offseason or the very early part of the season, and now you're in fucking shambles. Like, so I don't know. I just listed off the same amount of names I feel like you listed off that were good. So at the end of the day, that was what, a 50-50 bet?
Mm-hmm.
50-50 bet. Right. That's why I say it's generally bad process.
Process, right. Process
50%, over 50% is not a good fucking bet in the fantasy space.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to be perfect, right? Like Adam and I have said for the longest fucking time in dynasty trading, if you can hit 60%, win 60, 65% of your trades, you're in a great spot mm-hmm. as a dynasty manager. What we don't say is if you can just go 50-50, you're in a great spot. No, you're in the same dog shit that you're always going to be in, as well as the rest of the people in your fucking league. So right. you got to have a little bit of a juice on there, right? It's like when you see those Vegas bets and like the line is so shitty, and then you go to the money line and you're like, oh, you gave such a shitty line here, but like the odds are even. Like, what's my fucking payoff yeah. for even picking this? Like, I have just as much chance to be wrong, and you're giving me even odds? Like, I get no juice whatsoever on this? This is bullshit.
Come back.
This bet.
I dog hate shit. When I see that. You'd be like, oh, I don't think Team X is a 5.5-point underdog at home. That seems a little much. I think they can win outright. Let me go see the juice. +105. What the? Dude, where did my juice go?
I saw what I did. I did start dabbling a little bit in bets this week, Maddie. I have to find it and see what the fuck the line
birthday
was.
Bets? You did some birthday bets, Mike?
I did some birthday bets. And, you know, I put in like a 20-leg parlay last week. Of course, that missed. But no I made it kidding. Up on... I made it up. I made all that money back I spent on like bullshit home run parlays on actual good bets that paid off. Yeah, so we broke even for the first week, but... The one that I fucking saw was with this goddamn Houston Texans Jets game, and I have no idea what Vegas, the odds makers, were thinking when they put this fucking line out. They had, so I got it, Maddie, and I don't give a fuck if it was even money, bad odds, whatever. They had the Houston Texans getting 4 points.
What?
Houston, Texas, +4 against the fucking Jets. I was like, is this a typo?
Did they not know the Jets lost to the Patriots last week?
Yeah, but it was one of those things, right? So I took the +4 points, right? Just give yourself the cushion. Because the odds were the exact same as if I took the fucking Houston Texans on the money line. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? Why are they the same fucking odds? All right, I'll take the 4 points. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. I think they went outright anyways, but Jesus Christ. I'll take the 4 points, I guess.
4 free points. So they could lose by a field goal.
Yep.
Which would be a, like, league-rattling upset.
Massive. Historic. Like Appalachian State beating Michigan.
That is a G5 taking down a SEC powerhouse right there.
That's Vandy knocking off fucking Alabama a few weeks ago.
Piavia, baby!
Let's go, man. No, I didn't understand that. But it's kind of the same thing, man. It's a bad fucking bet. And just in general, for me, I want to hold it as long as I can and get away with it. But to your point as well, Maddie, it's a sliding fucking scale. If you're going to blow me away and I'm going to feel comfortable even in week 3, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and just push the button, push your draft capital in. You just got to analyze the downside and be honest about it. That's probably another thing I see people not do very well in dynasty space is be honest about their team. Be honest about the ball. Everybody yeah. thinks they're going to fucking win the championship. Weird that only one person ever does. It's kind of weird how that works out. There's only
except
one champion.
Except for DeMar Hamlin year. There's a lot of split champions that year.
Let's not bring that shit up. I hated that one so much. Like, it's like kissing your hot cousin. I don't know if you got a hot cousin that you kiss, but...
I don't.
I can only imagine. How about that? I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to incriminate myself.
You can imagine what it'd be like.
It's okay. She was first cousin. That makes it all right, right?
Well, it's not zero cousin. It's first cousin. That's one thing removed.
I think that becomes your sister.
That's your sister. That's a sibling there, Oba, my man.
Let's talk about in your leagues, waiver wire. We touched a little bit on, especially best ball, having the waiver budget, but just overall waiver strategy in like a traditional lineup, super flex league. Like, what are you kind of doing here? Like, what are the players or positions that you're actually going for? Or are you out there like chasing the Xavier Hutchinson of the world, or like whoever the next one is. Like, do you have a preferred position where you're trying to think ahead or plan ahead in your lineup leagues? Or is it whoever the fuck the hot name is, that's who we're picking up this week?
I stay away from the hot name because in Dynasty, you don't get the opportunity that you get in Seasonal. In Seasonal and Redraft, you get the opportunity to change your league. A name that comes to mind, this was 5-6 years ago at this point, was James Conner on the Steelers. There was the injury to Mendenhall or whoever it was. D'Angelo Williams, can't remember exactly who the running back was. But it led to James Conner being a top five running back. That's a seasonal, that's a redraft thing. That doesn't happen in Dynasty. So for me in Dynasty, there is only one position I will get aggressive on, whether it be week one, week two, week three, week four, doesn't matter, quarterback. I will get a little aggressive on quarterback. Everyone else, whether it be receiver, running back, tight end, I am very nickel and dime. I would rather have the budget later to be a budget bully heading into the playoffs than to hope to strike lightning in a bottle and get a guy for the rest of the season to help. The reason being, I've just been in too many matchups where in Superflex, I started Sean Mannion to win a championship, and that's going to sound gross, but he played well enough on was a Monday Night Football a couple years ago, or whoever that chance is. And I know it's not championship time, but if there was like a Jameis Winston-esque passing of the torch or a Joe Flacco-esque passing of the torch closer to playoff time, you just can't let yourself allow that your teammates, your league mates, your adversaries to get a value at that position. So for me, it's always quarterback. You got to be aggressive, whether it be week one or week 18. The rest, I would preach being a little bit frugal because you can always bolster your team via trade where you want to win on the margins with Fab in Dynasty. There's just not the opportunity to pick up a guy. Like, for example, are you blowing a big part of your Fab on Parker Washington? I'd rather not, but I would rather have that money set aside to have gotten Flacco last year when he got picked up by the Browns. You know what I mean? Those type of game changers in Superflex in Dynasty really only come at the quarterback position, in my opinion. So for me, it's quarterback. Are you on the same lines? I know obviously quarterback's important, but are you a little bit more inclined to go after the skill positions earlier on the season if you believe it's a multi-week starter?
So there's two very differing strategies depending on league type. I mean, league type being lineup or best ball, right? So overarching in lineup leagues, if you're chasing the Parker Washingtons, the John Mechies, the Xavier Hutchinsons, got it. He's so irrelevant, I almost forgot his fucking... He also went to Iowa State, so I'm just being a dickhead. The Robert Woods, right? Like whoever the new hot name at wide receiver is going to be. You have to ask yourself in lineup leagues, how often am I going to fucking start this guy? And if I have to start him, is my team actually any fucking good anyways? Right? Like if I'm sliding Robert Woods immediately this week into my fucking flex position, I've probably got a shitty team anyways, right? Most people are going to pick those up and they're going to spend a significant portion of their budget, like not just pennies, like in order to get those kind of guys. And they're going to fuck themselves later in the season. If I'm going to do it while everybody's out there in my lineup leagues chasing those types, Maddie, I'm with you. I'm picking up the quarterback, right? And here's the crazy thing. It doesn't even have to be a quarterback who's going to start this week. I can look at it and somebody may have fucking dropped Malik Willis after Jordan Love came back. That's the kind of guy like, man, if Jordan Love got hurt again, though, I'd like to have Malik Willis on my team. It's a lineup league. I don't have to worry about the zero. Let me go pick Malik Willis up for zero fucking dollars, right? Or $1 if they make you minimum bid, whatever it is. Yep. When Joe Flacco got fucking dropped by people in dynasty leagues, you know, because it did happen in some of these shallower lineup leagues. When he got dropped, that's the kind of guy that I want to go and throw on my fucking bench. Speculative buy, right? I want to do it at the quarterback position because it can change the game. I'll also say this. Dynasty leagues, it kind of depends on the depth. How deep your league is in lineup leagues, but I also do it a lot with running backs because we see running back injuries all over the place, right? Like I want to go get that Isaac Garendo, 3 weeks ago, right? Because then all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm like, what a great fucking pickup for me. I might be able to start Garendo the next time he plays, right? Like I need a flex and this dude getting all the carries or whatever it is. Those are the kind of guys in lineup leagues that I'm buying. And I'll also caveat this too, just with the way I value the tight end position. We talk about A-Warp tight end. That'll get brought up many times, I'm sure, on this show as far as the strategy portion. But tight ends are going to be the same thing. Those are going to be the kind of guys, even in dynasty leagues where people go, we can't really just stream tight ends. Fuck, I can't. Fuck, I can't. Now, when I see people pick up like the new Adam Trautman, right? That's going to be a name that's going to get picked up in a lot of fucking leagues this week. When I see people pick up the new Adam Trautman and they already had Travis Kelce and Brock Bowers, I go, what the fuck are you doing that for? Like, again, like the wide receiver thing. You're just wasting. You're not going to start them. When I see somebody who's been starting fucking Tyler Conklin, right? Or they've been starting, name some other fucking shitter, kind of mediocre, Josh Oliver at tight end, or Johnny Munt. Like, they've been getting by, and then I see him go out and they pick up an Adam Trautman. I know that fucking guy's playing the A-Warp tight end life, and they're going to start that dude this week. Like, that guy is immediately going into his lineup, for sure. That's the kind of thing I want to do with tight end and roster construction that I built. So I will spend a little bit of fab on those tight ends just to find the next one. Because I'm going to start him. They're not just going to sit on my fucking bench. I'm going to start this dude.
Yeah.
I'm churning through these and just trying to pick out the best matchups. But generally in lineup leagues, man, I'm probably not picking up wide receivers unless it's something stupid obvious. You know, like maybe the Cedric Tillman thing or the Jalen Coker thing was something where you could have spent money because you're like, yeah, I'm going to start this guy. Like, he's a better option than what I had at my flex. Mostly it's going to be speculative quarterback buys. It's going to be, you know, trying to think down the road. What happens if this running back in this spot, you know, I want the number two guy or I want this number three guy who's all of a sudden going to get elevated, and then A-Warp tight ends because I'm actually starting them. So lineup leagues, completely different. Best ball leagues, it's weird how this shit flips. You can do it with quarterbacks. You can roster some of these zero quarterbacks, these backup quarterbacks, because in Superflex best ball leagues, they do make a world of fucking difference when you have them.
Yep.
Running backs, on the other hand, I'm probably not picking those guys up. A-Warp tight end, still doing that shit because I'm just throwing as many darts as a fucking wall. Somebody fall in the end zone. But I am far more likely in best ball leagues to pick up the Xavier Hutchinsons of the world because I don't have to choose whether to start him. If he catches a fucking touchdown pass this week for 50 yards, though, I'm going to be glad that I picked him up and spent a little bit of money. But that's also why I say in best ball leagues, when you do these trades, if you're a contending team, fab budget is so fucking underappreciated. Because I want the ability to be able to every single week pick up Parker Washington, Robert Woods, Adam Trautman. I want to be able to churn the guys at the bottom of my roster because inevitably, you're going to come next week and you're going to be like, damn, Robert Woods is really fucking cooked, man. He was only on the field for 15% of the snaps. He's not even getting fucking looks. Yep. Cut him. Cut him. And then I go to the next one and I'm going to pick the next one up. I'm always trying to backfill and keep as many shitters off the end of my bench zeros, you know, or 1 point scorers as humanly fucking possible. So best ball leagues, you're far more aggressive and it kind of opens up every single position other than speculative running back buys. And I would say I'm not as aggressive on the quarterback market and until they're actually starting, right? Like the minute Joe Flacco's, you know, taking over or starting, you're blowing fab. You're blowing fab. Like, give me a fourth quarterback. Give me a fifth quarterback in best ball. The minute Malik Willis is starting a game, boom, doing the same thing. Whoever the fuck the, you know, if something were to happen to Brock Purdy in San Francisco, whoever the fuck the backup is there. Like, that's a dude that I'm trying to actively add to my best ball rosters immediately. So, a little bit of a different strategy between the two, but I see people doing this shit wrong all the time in lineup leagues. Like, why are we adding Parker Washington for 40% of your budget? Like, is that going to really change your fucking season? I highly doubt it, because you're going to start him a grand total of zero times for the rest of the year. So, good luck on that one. But
these
other positions, yes, they can be immediate starters, especially running backs and quarterbacks.
I want to ask you, it's not really about the budget side of things, the spending side of things. It's really just more of the roster construction side of things. This time of year, with the NFL trade deadline looming, are you more willing to add the Miles Sanders, the Khalil Herberts, these running backs that might actually be floating in the fantasy abyss in Dynasty? Are you okay throwing a couple bucks just in case? Because Miles Sanders gets traded to the Cowboys. Khalil Herbert gets traded to the Chiefs. You know, value does spike a little. But then again, they don't. They're basically, you just lit that important fad that we just talked about on fire. Do you partake in any of those gambles?
That's something I've never done in the past, but something I do think needs to be talked about, Maddie, and maybe needs to be incorporated a little bit more. Those guys, just traditionally, though, for me, if in these best bowl leagues especially, though, if I'm sitting there, those guys are on roster somewhere. It'd have to be a pretty shallow lineup league for those guys to kind of be chilling out there on waivers, right? Like those speculative ads. But if I'm doing it anyways, those guys are probably already on my roster anyways in those lineup leagues. Like I'm already like trying to bank on not only a trade, but I'm banking on an injury or, you know, Chuba Hubbard going down and Miles Sanders. Maybe one week I get to start him or whatever it is. Best ball leagues, though, like where it would actually be more like, Miles Sanders ain't doing shit for me. Khalil Herbert obviously isn't doing shit for me. Clyde Edwards-Helaire obviously isn't doing shit. Those kind of guys, I have a lot more serious conversations about what is their actual benefit to my team. And if they did get traded, could I pick them back up? Now, if I'm doing it right, I should have a pretty healthy fab budget anyway, so I should feel pretty fucking safe. Like, hey, Miles Sanders got traded to the Chiefs and is going to be the number two or whatever and possibly take over for Kareem Hunt. Fuck yeah, as soon as that deal goes down, if Miles was chilling out there, I got a good idea that I could get him back, right?
Yeah.
I could be the big hammer at the table and pick him up. So I wouldn't say that I do it too much, but I do think it's something that needs to be kind of taken into consideration, at least in the back of your mind. Now, if you get into the territory of the shitter running backs that have no value, it doesn't matter if they got traded or not, the Ernest Johnsons, the Deuce Vaughns of the world, like those kind of guys, Jamal Williams. Who gives a fuck? Good luck. You're just as likely to see, you know, some shitter that, you know, retired 4 years ago, Le'Veon Bell, get, you know, picked up off the streets. That was a crazy thing, man. The amount of fab I saw, like, Dalvin Cook getting spent was...
That's
like,
Kareem Hunt's fault, though. That's Kareem Hunt's fucking fault.
I got it in a lineup league. In the best ball league, it was like, I'll pick him up for free if you let me. You know, just to cut Eric Saubert, who's been, I haven't been able to get rid of on the end of my bench, but that's it, man. That's it. But that's a guy then you just turn and fucking burn the next week anyways.
Yeah.
Churn and burn. All right, Maddie, that's an hour. First 4D chess podcast. Easy hour. We could go on forever, but we also want to keep shit at about an hour. We got schedules to respect. What'd you think, buddy? Like, it was like riding a bike for me. I miss this shit so much. I miss talking just dynasty strategy.
Joining the 4D Chess podcast is awesome. Very, you know, honored, as corny as it sounds, to chop it up with you. And honestly, just talk strategy. These are the topics that you... These are the water cooler topics, right? These are the things that you kind of shoot the shit with the buddies when you're at the gym. And you don't talk like this big picture type of... in the weeds type stuff. Like when we do content, it's more beneficial for our 4D chess or our South Harmon, you know, subscribers to know who to pick up, to hear the statistics, to know who to buy, who to sell. But when you get to come on here with, you know, one of your boys and just chop up about strategy, about what you've noticed, about trends, things that just kind of get forgotten in the content space because this content game has become so like, got to do this by this topic, by this day. You do it by this topic, by this day. This is how you help out the people that subscribe to you. This is how you can actually help them take actionable advice. Da, 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 da. This is more like, let's come hang out, pour a little drink, sit back. We're going to talk a little strategy, talk about experience. This is a podcast that you're going to hear this a lot from my mouth. In my 15 years of playing this game, or I've been playing this game an awful long time, and what I noticed is, and now this is the perfect spot. And it's an honor to do this. And then it just, you know, you and I, we work for South Harmon together. We're brothers on the front lines of fantasy football. But we still don't get to chop it up as much as we would like. We have lives and we have to create and do all these things. So now to have a scheduled excuse to just hang out with my boy, very, very excited for this going forward.
I love it, man. I think next week, since we did contenders, we should talk about rebuilders, right? There's another half to dynasty football. Or I guess maybe a third, because don't you see it a lot? There's like a third of the league who's rebuilding and rebuilding properly. There's a third of the league that's delusional and thinks they're going to fucking win from the 8th seed And then there's a third of the league that's just out there just shitting on everybody else, right? Like, I feel like we got thirds in all these 12 men. There's four teams that are just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, well, if I get this guy back, I might sneak into the playoffs.
I had no shit. I had a guy in one of my leagues literally today, last week, forgot to sub out a inactive player. The telltale sign that you've given up. So done. I reach out and say, hey, are you ready to sell your running backs? And I get a message, what do you mean? I'm only two games behind you. I just need a couple wins and I'm in the playoffs. And I'm like, buddy, you're sending me mixed signals here.
I hate those mixed signals. Just tell me the truth.
Don't let me guess, because I'll guess wrong every time.
Every single
ask
time.
My wife. She'll tell you. If you give me options, doesn't matter how glaring the right answer is, there's a chance your boy's grabbing the wrong one.
You're fucking cooked. Cooked. I'm cooked. Fucking cooked. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for another episode of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We appreciate you riding this thing. Peace.